Psalm 90. Psalm chapter 90. And Psalm 90 was, as we mentioned before, was written by Moses. Only Psalm was written by Moses. So he lived about 1500 B.C. and about 500 years before David. And so, then, of course, Solomon came after David. So David and Solomon, Asaph, and some of these other writers of Psalms came a long time after Moses. But Moses wrote this psalm, and we know that because the title in connected with verse 1 says, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. All right, now our passages for today include verses 12 through 17. 12 through 17. Probably verse 12 is one of the best known verses in this psalm, if not in the whole Psalter. So, Psalm chapter 90, verses 12 through 17. All right, let's read this through. You follow along as I read. So, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us, yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. All right, let's pray. Our Father, we praise thee for this evening, the privilege we have to meet here. We thank thee once again for all the blessings that we have in Christ and the opportunities of life. We thank thee that we can assemble here around the Word of God. We thank thee for our church members and families and friends, and we pray for your blessing upon all of us. Pray that you'll bless our church and help us to have a biblical perspective on what Moses has stated here about life. We pray that you'll bless our time now, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. As I've tried to outline the psalm here, I outlined the three major sections that seem to be a natural flow of the book. First of all, the first six verses deals with the saviorhood of God. Secondly, we notice in verses 7 through 11, this deals with the sinfulness of man. So, saviorhood of God, sinfulness of man. And then finally, the last few verses, 12 through 17, deals with the supplication of Moses. Now, Moses was a great supplicator. He offered prayers up for the children of Israel. He intervened for them. He came to the Lord on many occasions for them. And so, he was a great intercessor. He supplicated. He asked, because Israel had spiritual need, he asked in prayer for the nation. And so here we have Moses writes this. Now, because of the title, Moses the Man of God, as I've indicated before, we could look back there in Deuteronomy, and we see this title showing up, and it looks like it may, because of the title, it may relate to the time when he wrote this. But if you look there in Deuteronomy 33, verse 1, the scripture says, and this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God. So there you have the title of the psalm, prayer of Moses, the man of God. Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. So here in Deuteronomy 33, this is right at the tail end of Moses' life. He's 120 years old. They've come to the end of their journeys, and they're about ready to cross over into the Promised Land. That'll occur under Joshua's leadership. But Moses comes right up on the brink of this, but because of his sin in smiting the rock, rather than speaking to it to get water to come out, the Lord had to chastise Moses and not allow him to enter into the Promised Land. So, nevertheless, we have this reference to him as he gives his blessing upon the children of Israel in his final words. And so this may relate to this. Now, as mentioned last time as well, that Moses had death all around him. For 40 years going through the wilderness, he saw Jews die. They died and they died and they died and they died because of their sin. So we have this repeated pattern of death all over the place. And so he dealt with that here in man's sinfulness in the as I mentioned last time, and he saw the Lord's anger. In verse 10, 90 verse 10, he says, "The days of our years are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away." I mentioned to you that the word behind strength there, their strength, labor, and sorrow, is translated in other places as pride. And so their pride is labor and sorrow. That's what long days basically indicate, the pride of labor and sorrow. Now, obviously, from the point of view of these rebellious Jews who saw the miracles of God for 40 years, some of them for half that time, but they saw the miracles of God, and yet so many of them hardened their heart, and the Lord had to deal with them in death. And so many of them didn't even make that age, 70 years, 70 or 80 years of age. But now, as we come into our passage today, we see that Moses intercedes. Now, I want to bring out the heart of Moses here. If you look back there in Deuteronomy 9, probably the classic passage on the intercession of Moses, Deuteronomy chapter 9, we see the great chapter of Moses' intercession. And here he recounts. He recounts what had happened in Numbers, recorded in Numbers. But he gives a recounting of all this. So let's pick this up around verse 13. Numbers, Deuteronomy 9, 13 and following. As he's recounting what had happened to the Jews, he says, "Furthermore, the Lord spake unto me, saying, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people." So now the Lord says, "Let me alone, that I may destroy them and blot out their name from under heaven, and I will make of thee a nation mightier and greater than they." So you see what the Lord is saying there? He was so upset when he had given them the Ten Commandments. Moses comes down and they're involved in this idolatry, the golden calf. He's so upset with them. The Lord said this. Remember, I didn't write that in your Bible. He says in verse 14, "Let me alone. Let me alone to destroy them. I want to be left alone so I can destroy them." Those pretty strong words coming from the Lord. "That I may destroy them and blot them, their name out from under heaven. So I turned and came down from the mount, and the mount burned with fire, and the two tables of covenant were in my two hands. And I looked, behold, ye had sinned," he says, "against the Lord your God, and had made you a molten calf, and ye had turned aside quickly out of the way which the Lord had commanded you. And I took the two tables and cast them out of my two hands and break them before your eyes." So here he repeats this. He reviews what's happened here. He goes on to say, let's jump over there to verse 19, "I was afraid of the anger and hot displeasure wherewith the Lord was wroth against you to destroy you. But the Lord hearkened unto me at that time also." That's an important verse there. The Lord hearkened unto me. Here's Moses the leader, the great intercessor. Now, we don't read about this in Numbers, but we do here. Verse 20 says, "The Lord was very angry with Aaron to have destroyed him. And I prayed for Aaron also at the same time." So here the Lord wanted to kill Aaron. He wanted to kill the Jews. He wanted to be left alone to do this. And so now let's jump down to verse 26. 26, Moses says, "I prayed therefore unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, destroy not thy people and thy inheritance, which thou hast redeemed through thy greatness, which thou hast brought forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand." Remember thy servants Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and look not unto the stubbornness of this people, nor to their wickedness, nor to their sin, lest the land whence thou broughtest out say, that'd be Egypt, because the Lord was not able to bring them into the land which he promised them, because he hated them, he hath brought them out to slay them in the wilderness. Yet they are thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest out by the mighty power and by the stretched out arm. So here the Lord, Moses intercedes for the people so that the enemies wouldn't laugh at God, saying he couldn't accomplish what he wanted to do because he had such a rebellious people. And so he appeals to the Lord there at that point. So here in the whole tenor of all this, we see the Lord is very angry. He wants to destroy Aaron, the Jews. He wants to be left alone. I'm done with these people. I want to be left alone. I'm done with them. I want to destroy them. And Moses appeals to the Lord and prays for intercession, intercessory prayer, and supplicates to the Lord for them because of their lack of spiritual spirituality. So Moses knew what it was to supplicate or intercede for the children of Israel. And this is what he does in verse 12. So we're back here in Psalm 90, verse 12. Here he offers up a prayer and lays out an imperative here. He says, so teach us the number of our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. All right, so verse 12 is key to this. Teach us to number and to apply, that we may apply. And so I believe in the following verses, he gives several reasons why we need to number and apply, number our days and apply wisdom to our hearts. Several reasons that show up here. But before we look at these, let's notice there in verse 12, he says, so teach us to number our days. The idea is to number every day. Now, based on a 365-day calendar, somebody lived 20 years would have 7,300 days, 7,300 days to live. So, I'll do the math. But on the other hand, somebody living to 70 years on a 365-day calendar, somebody living 70 years would have 25,550 days. All right, so 25,000 days. Think of that, somebody living to 70. And so, however long we live, we only have so many days. And that's his whole point here. And so you can figure that out. You can figure out how many days you've lived so far. And you can figure out on the basis, if you go with the short, the lower scale, 70 years, how many days you have left. If you go with the higher scale, you can figure out how many days you have left. Now, you may have a few more, but teach us the number of days. That's what he's really saying there. And think of that. Days roll by, and they just keep rolling by, don't they? They don't slow down. They just roll by. And so we need to number our days, he says. Now, we look at this verse, verse 12, teach us to number our days. Apply our hearts unto wisdom. So, number one, the word for number there is the, it has the MN base to it, root word MN to it. And so it's also the word that's found in Daniel for many, many. Tekel upharsin, remember that? Numbered, counted. And judged, and so it's the same word that's used there, or it's root word that's used there. That's Aramaic word, but it's root word that's used there. Now, let's notice Psalm 39. 39 gives us this perspective. Psalm 39. David says this, but says basically some of the same things that Moses said. Psalm 39:4, he says, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days. What it is. that I may know how frail I am. So, as far as we know, David lived to be around 70 years old, 70 years of age. So he became king at 30 and reigned 40 years, died shortly after that. So David lived to be 70 years of age or thereabouts. And yet here he says in his prayer, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days. Well, Moses gives basically the measure of days, 70 to 80 years. And so Psalm 90 might be an answer to his prayer here, even though Moses wrote before David. But nevertheless, this is what he's asking here. And he says, what it is that I may know how frail I am. So one of the themes that shows up both there and in this psalm as well is the frailty of life. The frailty of life, the brevity of life, and how life can be gone in a moment. It's like a vapor. James tells us that and so on. So there's no guarantee about tomorrow. And so we don't know. We all are assured that we've had a beginning, right? We all know we've had a beginning. And just as sure as we know we've had a beginning, we know that we're going to have an end in this life. Now, Methuselah probably might live forever, maybe, but he had an end. So it doesn't matter how long we live, those days are going to run out. So what he's saying here is, teach us to number our days that we may apply wisdom, apply our hearts to wisdom. Now, obviously, David's son, Solomon, Proverbs 1, gives us the formula there. But it's not just a quaint little idea. It's really the basis of life. Proverbs chapter 1. He tells us in the first 7 verses, but leading up to verse 7, he says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So the book of Proverbs really is a contrast between the wise man and the fool. And the wise man applies his heart to wisdom. The foolish man doesn't. And we see everywhere we look in Proverbs, there's this contrast between the wise man and the foolish man. The wise man, what does he do? The foolish man, what does he do? And we have this going on. Notice in chapter 2, Solomon said, my son, so perhaps he's writing Rehoboam there, that thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding. So here's a cyclical approach to having the fear of the Lord, crying out to the Lord for wisdom, and then gaining some understanding, and then going back to the Lord for more wisdom. If thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. So the fear of the Lord is an attitude. It's a spirit. It's a heart towards life. And once we have the proper heart or attitude towards life, then we can understand, have knowledge about God's will, and it becomes cyclical because God's will continues to increase or narrow down or take us in a specific direction, and so we need to constantly go back to Him having the right attitude. So we see... Moses says this, so teach us the number of days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Now, I see in the next several verses two basic reasons that we need to number our days and apply our hearts unto wisdom. First of all, in verses 13 through 15, it seems like the summary idea here is that God will extend mercy to us. So that God will extend mercy to us. Verses 13 through 15. Here in verse 13, he's asking for the Lord to return. Verse 14, he says, O satisfy us early with thy mercy. Our word mercy here is that word that shows up in Psalm 136, 22 times. And that's chesed. That's the mercy that we talked about, this this chesed, this loving kindness, this relationship that we have with the Lord that we demonstrate with others. And so he's talking there about the mercy. And then in verse 15, this leads us into the gladness and so on. So first of all then, reasons why we should number our days and apply our lives, our hearts to wisdom is so that God will extend mercy to us. Now in verse 13, first of all, extend mercy to us. Mercy from judgment. See, we deserve judgment. We're sinners. We deserve judgment. But that God will extend mercy to us from judgment. Notice what he says here in verse 13. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. Now this idea of returning and repenting for the Lord. In other words, this is a prayer to ask the Lord to change his direction towards us. For instance, in the book of Jonah. In the book of Jonah, that little minor prophet with a major message. Jonah chapter 3. We notice in Jonah 3:9. Jonah 3:9, scripture says, who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? So notice that. Here is a desire, a wish, a wonder, a query. Who can tell if God will turn and repent? All right, repent, what's that mean? Well, in this context, repent means to turn. And turn from evil. Well, what evil does God have to turn from? Or from what evil does God have to turn? It's the evil calamity he was going to bring upon the Ninevites. The judgment. From their point of view, it's evil. Now, God does not commit moral evil. He does not commit moral evil, obviously. So the evil is from man's point of view, and the evil would be the calamity that would hit Nineveh if they didn't repent. So here the people there, including the king, is saying, who can tell if God will turn his wrath, repent from his wrath, and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? Who can tell? But notice verse 10 follows up, and God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. So notice here, repentance is from evil. So when the Ninevites turned from their moral evil, you see, and turned to the Lord turned from his evil catastrophe he was going to bring on them, and didn't bring it. And so there's a reciprocation here. When the sinner turns from sin, God turns from eventually blotting him out of the book of life. You follow that? Now, that's how the scriptures understood at this point. this doesn't deal with many issues, but it does explain this very simply here without trying to get into other heady types things. And that is that when the sinner will turn from his sin, God will turn from blotting him out of the book of life. All right, so here Moses is asking, return, O Lord, how long? In other words, Lord, how long is it before you're going to turn from your judgment on these people? And he says that in the second clause, and let it repent thee concerning thy servants. So how long, you see? So remember now, Moses, 120 years, last 40 years, he's in the wilderness, sees Jews dying all over the place regularly because of their sin, and God's judgment, he wants to wipe them all out at one point and so on. And so we see that one of the reasons to number our days and apply our hearts to wisdom is so that God will extend mercy to us from judgment. And secondly, extend mercy to us to joy. Notice that. We see that in verse 14 and 15. Oh, satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all of our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. In other words, give us as long a time for rejoicing as you gave us for judgment. And extend your mercy to us so that we may have joy. Now, David knew about joy. Let's notice in Psalm 51, one of the classic passages on this. Notice in Psalm 51, David said, so I know we're talking about Moses in Psalm 90, but here David said this in Psalm 51, verses 10 and following. It says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. So when David confessed his sin with Bathsheba, came clean with the Lord, and the Lord cleansed him, then he asked for joy to be restored, the joy of his believer's life to be restored. When there's sin in a believer's life, there's no joy. So when he confessed his sin and asked the Lord to restore that joy, we believe that the Lord did as he asked here and as he indicated this in his psalm. So, reasons to number our days and apply our hearts unto wisdom. First of all, so that God will extend mercy to us from judgment and to joy. Secondly, second reason is so that God will finish his redemption, that the Lord will finish his redemption. Back here at verses 16 and 17, Psalm 90, 16 and 17, he says, let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. So this is from the Lord's point of view. From his point of view, let thy work appear unto thy servants and thy glory unto their children. So, the Lord's work here, his work in dealing with them. If you look here, the same word shows up in Deuteronomy 32:4, for instance. Deuteronomy 32:4. the scripture says, he is the rock, his work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. So this is talking about his work is perfect. And so Moses is saying, let thy work appear unto thy children. The Lord's work, but the Lord's work has to do with working with sinners who are redeemed. See, that's the context. He's working with sinners who are redeemed. And then verse 17, and let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. Interesting, the word behind beauty here is a root word for Naomi. Remember Naomi? Same word here, same root word. Right. Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us, yea, the work of our hands establish thou it. And so here we see the Lord wants to finish his redemption, and that has to do with us. As he has redeemed us, then our works will honor him, and we can have a life of good works flowing out of our believer's life, like James talks about and so on, as his beauty is upon us and establishes our works. So he wants to redeem us. Now, this, I believe, verse 17, is maybe the foundational idea that Paul had there in Ephesians. If you look there in Ephesians chapter 2, I've cited this recently several times. Ephesians chapter 2, and here 2:8-10. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now notice here, we are his workmanship. The word behind workmanship is the word from which we get the English word poem. We are his poem. Really what Paul's saying, we are his workmanship, we are his poem, created in Christ Jesus, and we as his poem, his work, as it were, we are to demonstrate good works. Good works should flow out of us. Not good works for this salvation, because he's already made that clear, not by works, but lest any man should boast. But the works flow out of us as we are believers. And so we are his poem, we are his workmanship. Hopefully we are a pleasing poem. Ever read some bad poems before and they really, boy, they're out of sync and they don't rhyme and they, you know, they really sound bad. And yet we as his poem shouldn't be sounding bad or looking bad or behaving bad. We ought to have good works flowing out of us. And so this is what I believe Moses is saying here in Psalm 90, verse 17. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou thy work of our hands. The work of our hands upon us, yea, the work of our hands establish thou it. So the work of our hands are the works that flow out of us as he's working through us. And this is the blessing when we learn to number our days. We are able to accomplish his task or his goal for us in our lifetime, however long or short that is. See, so John the Baptist, for instance, mentioned this before. John the Baptist had about a 6-month ministry. So he was 30 years old. 6 months before the Lord, he started his ministry about 30 years of age and ministered about 6 months and came to an end. So he never made it to 70 or 80. And yet in his short lifetime, he was able to accomplish the Lord's will. Amen. And likewise, the Lord Jesus Christ lived about 33 years, maybe a little bit longer than that. But lived about 33 years. Yet in his lifetime, he accomplished the greatest thing. Only was he born, but he accomplished the work on the cross for us and everything else. But so the length of time is really not the issue. It's the quality of time. It's the quality of time. Remember we talked about Jacob. Few and evil, 139 years old, he said, few and evil have been my days. Because the quality of his life was such that he tried to sidestep the Lord's will and go ahead of the Lord and get around and outside of the Lord's will to do things his way and accomplish the Lord's will his way. And his 139 years at that time was few and evil. And so this is dealing with quality of life, not quantity of life. And this is really the key here. Verse 12 is the key. Teach us to number our days. We may apply our hearts unto wisdom. So however many days that we have, we need to number them. Realize today, almost over, tomorrow will come around. What am I going to do in the will of God? For the will of God. The next day, and it'll roll by. So the issue here is not, I'm going to avoid that final end, because we're not going to avoid that. But the issue is, I'm going to live in light of God's will today and have that quality of life that fits within the parameters of Scripture. Right. All right, let's take the heed. Moses' words there. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for the time we've had to go through this Psalm 90. We thank you for the teaching you've given us through Moses some 3,500 years ago. And the truth still remains. This is still true for our lifetime and for the world and every generation since then. And we pray that you'll help us to take these truths and live in light of them. Pray that you'll bless our prayer time now, we pray, as we take a prayer request to thee, and that we'll thank thee in Jesus' name. Amen.